coding. We could think of no more fitting way to kick off season 2 of Ergonomy than by interviewing the two individuals you will hear today. James Kelly and James Dock are changing their respective communities and communities around the world through Faith Tech and Kingdom Code. We are so excited for you to hear about the work that they are doing, and we hope that it will inspire you to consider the gifts, talents, and resources that God has given you and how you can apply them in your own church and in your own community. This is a podcast dedicated to analyzing yesterday, asking today, and anticipating tomorrow so that the local and global church may be prepared for the changing economy. I'm Will Sorrell. Welcome to the future of faith and work. Welcome to Ergonomy. All right, so welcome to season 2 of Ergonomy. Today I have the pleasure of being joined by James Kelly and James Dock, whom I've been informed we will henceforth refer to as Doc to avoid confusion between the two Jameses. James and Doc operate in very similar spaces in faith and technology across the pond. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves and talk a little bit about Faith Tech and Kingdom Code. So James, you're up first. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, well, thanks, Will, and thanks for doing this, man. Yeah, a real brief on Faith Tech is a few years ago, probably 3 years ago, I had met a whole bunch of people in tech here in Waterloo, the home of BlackBerry.
Yeah. Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, indeed. So there was at the height, like 15,000 people working for BlackBerry in our city. And when it tanked, actually most of them stayed and started companies, which is why we have the second highest startup density in the world now, just west of Toronto. Shout out to Waterloo. And so anyway, I met all these tech people and realized a lot of, particularly Christians in tech, felt very alone, very misunderstood, very underutilized. You know, so the best example I can give is I'd meet people that are, you know, leading edge of AI and, you know, inventing world technologies and running, and then they go to church and run PowerPoint. It's like, what's going on here, you know? And so, you know, just saw the opportunity there to support that community. And then on the flip side, met a lot of people in ministry that were struggling to think about technology, how it impacts the world and their people and their organizations. And so we figured the best way for them both to solve their problems is to meet and work it out. And so kind of early to mid 2016, gathered a small group of 35 of us here in Waterloo at a coffee shop. Still to this day, one of the most electrifying nights of my life, because suddenly all of those issues they all had were starting to get resolved by working together. And so here in Waterloo, we started meeting regularly, where we would do events together like hackathons and TED Talks. We'd start building technology for the kingdom of God. And so we kind of formed this little community here in Waterloo. Well, in 2016, these communities, which we called Faith Tech Communities, started in Toronto and Vancouver. And then in 2018, communities started in Chicago and Silicon Valley. And then by the grace of God, now, you know, people are reaching out from around the world saying, hey, I want to see a community like this form in my city where we're serving the tech community, we're building technology for the kingdom of God, we're partnering and working with ministries, and you know, by the grace of God, this is turning into, I like to say it in that I see Faith Tech as a small community, a part of a global movement that's shifting, where I think the global church is just starting to wake up to this dramatic thing called technology that has radically altered the way we live, the way we communicate, the way we operate, the way we think, even the way we view God is shifted by technology. And so I think there's an enormous opportunity coming our way where I think we're going to start seeing just what's possible by leveraging technology for the kingdom.
Fantastic. That's really encouraging to hear. How about you, Doc? Any similarities or differences in your experience in London?
Yeah, thanks, Will. I think, kind of, you know, every time I hear James Kelly talk about what's going on in faith tech. Kind of, you know, I'm so encouraged. You know, there's, you know, because I just see the similarities, the same heart that God has given faith tech, just being reflected in what we're doing here in Kingdom Code. It's kind of like you know, James was saying, this, you know, this movement that God is raising up of technologists trying to work out how their faith, how their tech skills come together. This is just a direction that God has really given us in Kingdom Code as well. And, you know, so kind of Kingdom Code's been going since 2015. So we're a little bit by a year older than Faith Tech, but, you know, in terms of, you know, what we're doing, we're just trying to do the same kind of thing. So, you know, one of the things we want to do is we want to bring people together who are in this space to have this conversation. Both people in the tech world and in the ministry mission world, getting them in the same room, having a drink together, talking, sharing about what's going on in their lives, what's going on in their church lives, what's going on in their work lives, how these spaces come together. But yeah, we also want to then start really pushing the way that they're thinking, starting to really challenge and just help them form a good Christian theology around technology, around their work as well, and how these two things come together. So kind of, you know, in London, we've been running this meetup format for a couple of years now, where kind of, you know, once every other month we'll have a drink together, once every other month we'll have a think together, kind of like, actually, how does our faith, how does our tech collide? You know, what does, you know, the theology of relationship, how does that come together with you know, what we're building? What does the Bible say about this? How does that change then how we make things? You know, what does the Bible have to say you know, about, you know, risk? How does that then change what we go do in our startups? Or how about going the other way? What does the, you know, what does our work say about design? How does being designed, how does that then change how we go and serve in our churches? How can we use that skill set that God has given us to shape our churches? And then kind of, you know, kind of, we don't just want to be a room that sits around and talks a lot. We want to be a room that kind of comes together and builds and actually applies our skill set. So yeah, each year we join with groups like Faith Tech all around the world for this this hackathon that happens in cities in different countries, with this whole idea of how do we apply the skill sets we've got to some of the biggest problems that our cities and our world are facing, which is a real encouragement. So kind of, you know, last year we had Bible Society come along and say, kind of, you know, in the UK, and, you know, you've got some of the greatest access to the Bible, but some of the lowest engagement. What would it look like for you to apply your skill sets to help everyone in the UK to engage more with the Bible? What would that look like? How would that work? You know, it's just really encouraging just to see this group who've been coming together, thinking together, praying together, talking together, go, oh, hang on a second, my technical skill set can be used for this really important problem.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
My skill set isn't devoid of my faith. My skill set has something, you know, it's integral and comes together. And that's just been a real joy to see.
This is just so extremely exciting for me to hear you all talking about this, because I think a lot of times in the faith and work conversation, it's very up in the clouds. It's very idealistic, right? We talk about how our faith impacts our work, but rather you're sort of seeing how can my work also impact where my faith operates? How can it impact the church? So you guys have talked about a lot about collaboration, a lot about even building special projects, either for the local church or for the city that you're in. What are some of those projects?
Yeah, so in London, kind of, we've got this, one of those members there attached to a church, and one of the things that they started doing, this church does, is they door knock. So kind of, you know, in an effort to get to know their local community, they go around knocking on people's doors saying, hey, we're from the local church, we'd love to just get to know you a little bit, find out a bit how we can serve you, how, you know, the local church can be involved in your life. And the way that it's worked up until recently is the local churches, you know, they send out these people with a bit of paper, and the bit of paper gets filled in at the end of this conversation, and then you know they'll walk down a street filling these bit of paper, and then, you know, it goes back to the church office, And what inevitably happens to a bit of paper in a church office is it goes under another bit of paper, which then goes under another bit of paper. And you kind of all this data that gets collected that can be used to help the church better serve the community gets lost. And one of the Kingdom Code guys, alongside one of the ministry trainees at the church, just basically said, how might we do this better?
Mm-hmm.
What would it look like to do this better, to for the church to get to know the community better, to use this paper form? You know, how could that we redo this? So Simon and a couple of other guys from Kingdom Code, they're actually meeting on Friday, actually, and they give up an evening every couple of weeks to work on this project called Knock Knock. And the idea is, let's get to know our community, let's get to understand some of the needs of our community better. So as they're meeting people, they're going, oh, hang on a second, there's a pocket of families in this area, because the data is then getting sent back up and shared, so they can go, oh, well, there's a need here by this. Rather than connecting on paper, they're connecting it by collecting it just via an app that they're working on, that they're developing. They're going, oh, hang on a second, there's areas actually in this that seem to be struggling with depression. Actually, how can our church reach into that? But previously this has just been lost on paper, just stuck in a filing cabinet, whereas actually now by simply making it accessible, making it easy for the church to read and analyze, the church is able to connect more into its community. Seeing things like that is just incredible. Kind of just spare time projects is suddenly going, actually my skill set can be used here to serve. It's not a case of kind of pressing next on the PowerPoint or kind of running the PA desk, but I can serve the church by using the skill set that God's given me. That's really encouraging.
Yeah, that's awesome, Doc. I'll give you really, really two quick examples that I'm thinking of. And thanks for going first, Doc, because now it gave me time to think. you're sharp, brother. You're sharp. One's so fascinating to me. So we early on in the world of faith tech, we had connected with someone with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. They came to us and they said, look, guys, we're distributing physical Bibles all around the world. And I was like, I didn't even know that. And they're like, yeah, all around the world. And we're tracking it all with paper and pen. And it gets lost, and then we go back to the same community, and our efforts are all over the place. We don't know what we're doing. Maybe there's a way to build an app or something. Everyone wants to build an app. And it's like, oh, maybe an app's a solution. And can we build it? And what would it look like? And so we connected with them. We had a designer. Then we put a developer on it, and they just kind of started brainstorming together. And a team formed, a team that met regularly, worked with a gentleman with YWAM, and they built this thing called Share Bibles. They've been working on it now for a year and a half to 2 years. It's now being deployed for, I think, about 4 to 5 months. And what it is say the three of us, we go into rural Thailand, and we're going to go out and hand out 100 Bibles and meet 100 families. Well, we track all of that. And so we'll ask that family, hey, can we track a bit of information about you? And if they say yes, that's great. And then you track that. And you're getting information like, did they receive a Bible or not? Did they accept Jesus or not? Are they part of a local church or not? But you're also getting things like, do they have access to clean water? How many kids died of typhoid in their family or in their community in the last year? And you gather all that data. And what's really powerful, and tech people get this, is what's really powerful is when you zoom out with all those data points, it's an absolute game changer. So play this out. Say you take I think they're at like 10,000 data points now. You gather all that, and then say the three of us, we go and we map out 10,000 homes in rural Thailand. And I go, okay, guys, we need 45 new church plants. And I'll tell you exactly how many they'll have and who they'll start with. And we go to Charity Water and we know, okay, guys, we need 120 wells. And I'll tell you exactly where. Or we need to build 3 hospitals. And I can point to a map and say, if you build one right there, you'll reduce typhoid by 50%. So suddenly a simple app partnered with people on the ground turns into this mega, brilliant, efficient, effective tool that we can then use to make better decisions. So that's been a project we've had a team on for, I think, a year and a half now. It's unbelievable. Also for the team itself, because they're using their skills, working at Google, working wherever, and they're using these skills in a very practical way to build something that I think is going to be kind of a game changer. And then another really, really quick story is we had, this is kind of a staple story that if you've tracked with Faith Tech at all, you've probably heard, which is early on in the day of Faith Tech, we found out that 8,000 people every month in Canada search the phrase "how to kill yourself" in Google. The top search result is 7 easy, painless ways to kill yourself. So we had a team buy the domain howtokillyourself.org. But rather than, here's 7 ways to do it, the top thing when you went on their site was, you're not alone. And their end goal was to replace all the garbage on the searches with their website. It's like a sting operation. And we're literally now, we get stories of people where like, that site saved my life, where they went looking to kill themselves, landed on this website, saves their life. And it's just a simple website, but it's just done in a way that looks at the world differently and says, where are we going with our problems now? We go digital. Okay, so where's Jesus in that? And let's build something that actually meets that community, meets that person exactly where they're at, in order to turn them away from hopelessness and towards hope and Christ, right?
And one of the things that I love about these kind of projects that have come out of this is, isn't like, these are Kingdom Code projects, these are faith, these are the community going, here is a need, let's work out to solve it. Right. And kind of, we're just kind of like pointing people to in a direction, but we're not saying kind of like this is our thing. Yeah. It's just it's releasing a community to go and see how their skill set can do this. It's releasing them to go, oh, actually, my skill set is valuable and yes, can make a difference and can have an impact. And that's a joy.
It is. It's a joy, and it's a complete game changer, as you've both been saying. That's something that we talk about in my church quite a bit, is how to, I guess, reduce the mindset that the local church is a place where you go it's a place where you go just to consume, versus you go and you bring all that you are, all of the skills that the Lord has given you, and you say, where can I best benefit? Here are things that I see. And then the church having the freedom and the state of mind to say, we see this as well, and they release you into it, like you're saying. So I guess my next question would be along those lines. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of humility in this whole process, both if you're the coder, but also if you were the pastor or theologian or community leader who is in need of help, but also has strong theological or social convictions?
I guess I'll preface saying, anytime speaking about humility is actually extremely complex, because humility is something that you kind of just see. But what I do see in a lot of the community that I'm around, in the Faith Tech world, and guys like Doc, where it's just like a community of saying, look, I can't contribute by changing the world with, this one technology, and maybe I can't do this, but you know what? I can do something. I can design something. I can build something. I've got marketing background. How can I just use that thinking to help? And it's just almost like a posture right now I'm seeing a lot, which is just, is there a way I can use what I've been given by God in a way that perhaps traditionally we didn't view, to serve, right? And at the heart of humility is a desire to serve and put others before ourselves, right? And so that's one thing that I see beautifully right now with a lot of the tech community, that they're just in a posture willing to serve.
Yeah, I think kind of like one of the verses that I've had kind of running through my head over the last couple of months, in fact, is Ephesians 3:7. So Paul has been kind of talking about the gospel. He's been talking about his role that God's given him, but his line, his kind of concept of this is, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. So it's not any of the stuff that he has done in himself. He used to be as far away from God as he possibly could, living for himself, but having grasped the gospel, or he becomes a servant, acknowledging that it is a gift of grace that he's able to serve. And kind of, you know, where does humility come from? Well, seeing the gift of grace in your own life. So kind of one of the things that kind of, you know, we try and do within the Kingdom Code group is, you know, we're always pointing back to the gospel. We're always pointing back to scripture, because actually the more clearly we see Christ, the more clearly we see the gospel, the more clearly we're going to see actually this gift of grace that is given to us, and therefore the power of God that then transforms us and transforms actually how we can then give and serve out of that. That transforms actually what we can do and how we do it.
Something I'm hearing you both talk about is how technology can leverage itself for people, for individual souls made in the image of God. Season one of this podcast really kind of wrestles with different sides of what technology is sort of doing to the landscape of the economy. You know, how ethical is it, or how Christian is it, to create a technology that replaces a human, a job? And so what I'm hearing you all, though, describe is perhaps a third side of technology being leveraged by people for people. So can you sort of talk a little bit about that mindset within your own faith tech and Kingdom Code communities?
I'm very intrigued by that conversation, actually, around, you know, how automation and future technologies, like current and future technologies such as AI, are disrupting everything around jobs, particularly because it can affect the marginalized quite significantly, if a lot of our predictions are going to be true. My posture towards all this is actually that, the Christian world has a couple options here. Either we let the world continue to innovate and build these technologies that will affect and disrupt the culture and how we do work and how we do play and all of those pieces, which in it will inevitably do. So if we sit back and we go, okay, we're just going to tap out, that is not the right option to me. That's certainly a foolish option. The right option to me is rather deeply participate and engage with the wisdom of Christ in us. So what I mean by that is, we recently wrote an article and did a video on, should Christians fear AI? And it was just like, AI is coming and, you know, we're all going to die kind of thing. And that's kind of a lot of the fear piece of this. But the conclusion to me was, this is happening. And, you know, I'm in a space right now of 300 tech startups that are innovating on some of the most crazy things I can imagine. They will not stop, and they're going to continue to innovate, and it's going to continue to progress. What I'm saying is, as a man or woman of faith, when you love Jesus and your framework of decision-making is rooted in the gospel rather than profit, your voice in these conversations around AI, your voice in the conversations around how you build AI within your organization, or what technologies you choose to adopt, you need to be in that room to help make that decision, because you have a gospel framework versus someone that doesn't. And so, you know, my posture towards all this is, like, I am in a season where I am just saying, I'm trying to call people to be tech missionaries, whether you work in tech or not, because we need them. So if you work at Google, stay at Google and become view yourselves, because you already are, but view yourselves as a missionary there. And that, as a missionary, because the traditional context is like, you travel, you go away, you learn everything about the culture, and then you live differently. It's like, well, do that where you are now, in your workplace. Be a missionary now where you are, living out the gospel. That's the transition we need to start making here.
That's a very Lutheran idea. That's, you know, 500 years old. So I think you're definitely onto something
new.
There.
It's nothing new, right? It's like,
I think kind of like one of the other things is just ensuring that we, as a broad group of technologists, have an understanding of different points of theology that we can then bring into these conversations. As a front-end developer, that's my background, as doing a bit of design, bit of front-end coding. I am so far away from kind of building AI systems, but ensuring that as a broad group of developers, of technologists, that we've got an understanding of actually what it means to be human, what the theology of humanity is, what's the dignity and relationship, how that shapes dignity and work. You're having all those kind of conversations as a big group means that actually as the people who are then going from the Kingdom Code faith tech communities back into working in AI have that theological place to stand on top of, but also kind of as you all of the community goes back into their own churches, into the, they can start having these conversations. Actually, is this something to be scared of? Is this something that we should to embrace? Is that, how do we respond to this? And then also, kind of going, actually, who are the giants we can stand on top of? Who are the people who are already doing the work, thinking through this better? So there's an organization in the UK called the Jubilee Center, and they've just published a 50-page kind of primer on how we respond to artificial intelligence from a Christian point of view. Some of the stuff that we're doing is just right, okay, off you go, have that, read that. That's a really great place to start, and let's then have conversations off the back of that.
And I'll add to that, we have an opportunity, I believe, to change the narrative as well. So something I've been trying to shift in my thinking around, I heard this recently too, which is like right now in the world of AI, everyone's talking about the ethics of AI, right? And, what we're putting into our AI systems are going to change, the decision making, but what are the ethics that we're going to improve? To me, I'm saying, what if actually we change the narrative? We do use a little bit of a different language around the virtues of AI. And this one little slight shift, because we're talking about AI around personhood a lot right now. And it's like, actually, when you get into the realm of virtue, you're getting more into the realm of character, and you're getting into the realm of what it's like to be human. Ethics is like a list of do's and don'ts. Virtue is a list of who and who we are. And it's so fascinating because I've started these conversations with some of the AI experts I know. And when I bring up this idea of virtue, they're like, well, what do you mean by that? Like, what is a virtue? What is a top virtue? What, explain that virtue of humility to me, explain that virtue. And so it's actually opened the door into more gospel narrative and gospel thinking around how we shift and create our technology. So that to me is a huge opportunity we have with all this too.
So I guess as we sort of wind down our time here, if you could look at a 10-year ago version of yourself, I'm just thinking a lot of people I know who are sort of in the tech space who love Jesus Christ and want to advance his gospel, but really don't see the conversation or really don't see how the two interact. So how would you encourage them?
Yeah, I think one of the things that's really helped me is this idea that God makes you a whole person rather than with different silos. God doesn't just switch off when you leave church on a Sunday, is the simplest view of it. Reading the specifications to the temple really opened my eyes to understanding more of actually how God gives us design and technical skill set for him. God specifies how this temple is to be built, how this how all the intricacies of it, and how it's to aid the whole community, the metalsmiths, the tapestry makers, that everyone gets involved with their skill sets to create this thing where the people worship. And kind of if that's how they did it then, actually that's not changed in terms of how God gives gifts and skill sets. Your gifts and skill sets are for him and for his glory, and that then means what, actually how do you then do the headspace, the thinking to understand how that works out in your role, in at your 9-to-5 job, in your hobby, as in your side project that you're working in. You're just understanding and just thinking more about actually why has God put me here? What is in this job where my faith comes into play? I had the pleasure of working in a design museum, and it's really easy. Just I made websites for a design museum, but then you're kind of just taking a step back a little bit and going, hang on a second, I get to work in a museum where the entirety of some of the best examples of art and design are collected, which then go on to inspire others to be creative, which inspires other people to reflect their creator who is creative. You're actually trying to find where that thread of kind of here is my faith, here is my work, actually what happens at that intersection? How can I see that in my 9-to-5 job? but then also going, well, actually, how does this skill set then enable me to serve other people, you know, to solve the problems, to solve the things that God has put in front of me? It's a challenge, and it's things that you need to think about, and you know, it's helpful to do it with other people. It's why kind of, you know, James and I have set up these groups to kind of, you know, help kind of have these conversations and to start exploring that, those kind of things together.
Doc, you've completely changed the way I'm going to read the last 10 chapters of Ezekiel from now on. how the Lord creates us to be able to put things together intricately and beautifully. That's mm-hmm. gorgeous. That's really well said.
I'll say one thing. 10 years ago, I thought work was you worked for two things alone: make money and evangelize. Yeah. Then I read a really good book called Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller.
Oh, that book is great.
It's pretty good.
But you know what's so funny? When I read it, I was like, hey, we got these groups. I think they should read it. I reached out, I don't know, it's like 3 years ago. I said, hey, can you guys send me your study guide? I can't find it. And they literally replied back. They're like, we don't have one. You write one and send it over to us. And so I was like, well, I don't know why I should do that. But I did write one. I never actually sent it to them, but I wrote one for our groups. So I read the book, and then we had groups meeting, walking through this. And it was an absolute game changer in how I viewed work. And so for me, again, it was just like, these are the only two things. And I've been teaching my son lately. I've been asking him, like, why does daddy work, buddy? I have a 3-year-old son. And we've been chatting about, like, why does daddy work? And we've been talking about it. But then I said last week, I was like, so why do you think daddy works, buddy? And he's like, praise God. So I was really thankful he said that. And then he was like, money. Okay. And then he goes, daddy, I have two works. And I'm like, what's that, bud? He goes, money and Zamboni driving, which is cleans the ice for the hockey players. I'm in Canada, right? But anyway, that's all to say. It's completely shifted the way I view work. And to me, you know, work is, yes, sure, there's the evangelism piece. And when I say sure, I mean, that's very important still. But it's also like the very act of creating an email that's benefiting the world and moving people forward in progressing the world. Like, you can create that out of a pure desire of evil, or you can create that just to glorify the Lord. And so in the very act of creating, like Doc just said, we are reflecting the Creator. And that's a very important to me. And I'm very passionate about that, because I think also in our worlds, Doc and I know for Faith Tech, at least, people can just think, oh, you're just trying to say, do your work, but then take those skills and create something on the side. And I'm saying, no. Everything, your whole life should be glorifying the Lord every hour of the day. So in the very nature of your work, give glory to God, as well as we need some of those gifts and talents to be creatively used sometimes as well towards more direct kingdom causes. So yeah, again, I echo Doc, the holistic view is vital. And I did not know that until about 3 years ago. I had a very shallow, simple view of why I would work.
I just sent out this email to the Kingdom Code mailing list today. And in it, I found this article that fits really well with this conversation that got published on the Gospel Coalition last year. And it's an interview with someone who's a developer. And you know, one of the quotes that they've just pulled out just really resonated with me. I started to see that there is dignity not just in making money at work to give away, and not just in ministry work, but in what you're actually doing in your work. Actually, yeah, where is that dignity thread? Where is that faith thread in actually what you do? How does that all come together?
Thank you so much for listening to the inaugural episode of Season 2 of Ergonomy. If you'd like what you heard, please share it. Share it with your friends, family, coworkers, church, with your dog, anybody you can think of. And while you're at it, please feel free to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Next week, we will have a podcast episode dedicated to social media ethics. I think you're really going to enjoy it. Make sure you are subscribed so you don't miss out. See you next week.